Well, Hebrews chapter 4, we're looking at this theme just now on growing as Christians. And we come to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tonight. Hebrews 4 verse 12. So we began a couple of weeks ago in the verse in 2 Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that growth is our responsibility. It's not like we can leave it to the minister to grow us. And remember, I had my spoon, my plastic spoon, and I was spoon feeding you all. Well, it's good to start off with some spoon feeding, but we need to grow up to the point where we can feed ourselves as well. And that means that we need to be listening to the Bible, to God's Word at other times, and we need to be praying and taking the opportunities for fellowship, etc., etc., so that we can grow. So we have to be taking responsibility. Last week we were focusing especially on the Bible, and we're going to do that tonight and again next time, which actually will be for about another 4 weeks, because next week is the old age service, and then I have 2 weeks off, so it'll be 4 weeks, 4 weeks' time, I think. But anyway, we're thinking about the Bible, we're thinking about the Word of God, and last week we saw that when we read the Bible, it's not just a habit, it's not just something we do and like we read the chapter and think, well, our job's done. We read the chapter or we read the verse or we read the book or whatever and job's done. It's easy to have that attitude with Bible reading and to think that really that's what's required, but we saw that we read the Bible to meet God. In other words, the Bible itself is nothing unless we meet God through it. It's not just an end in itself. The Bible itself is given. I illustrated like a riverbed. Now, a riverbed shows us where the river flows, but we've got to find the river within the riverbed. So if your Bible reading is just a habit that you do and you read the chapter and then you're done, and you feel better because you read the Bible, then you're like a person stumbling through a dry riverbed. What we want to do is to actually meet with God. We want to get into the river when we read the Bible. So let's take that a bit further tonight, and let's especially focus on what the Bible's called in verse 12. It's called the Word of God, and it was called that in 1 Peter as well. The Word of God that was preached to the Christians that Peter's addressing. The Word of God. The Word of God is living and it's active. And the writer is speaking especially here about the Word of God in Psalm 95. He's calling Psalm 95, that he's quoting from extensively in chapter 3 and chapter 4, the Word of God. That psalm is the Word of God. So he's given an example of the attitude that he has, that the apostles have, that the church has to the Old Testament, and which we also have to the New Testament. It's the Word of God. And if you want to know how to use the Bible and how to meet with God through the Bible and how to grow in your knowledge of Jesus through the Bible, then use it as the Word of God. Now, just take a minute to think about that. Just let it sink in. No, it's really, really important to recognize when you take your Bible up. What could be more wonderful? What could be more miraculous? What could be more precious than to know that what you have when you open your Bibles, it's the Word of God. Like if you open a book by any other author, you think, well, you know, even if it's someone like Shakespeare, it's not perfect. It's only got limited use. I do remember when I was doing higher English long ago, and we used to study texts. You know, we'd study maybe Othello. We did Othello in my higher, and the teacher would have us look at a passage in Othello, and he'd be asking, so what's Shakespeare trying to say here? What did he mean by these words? And what perhaps subtle meanings might he have had in what he was saying? And eventually I used to think, you know, maybe we're making it up. Maybe actually Shakespeare didn't think that deeply at all. And maybe actually we're seeing more in it because he's only a man, Shakespeare. He's not that bright. You know, we're actually finding depths that Shakespeare never intended because he never even thought about them. But this is the Word of God. This is different. And there are depths here that we will never reach down to. It's a completely different proposition. So let's just think about a few things that come out of the Bible being the Word of God. And the first thing is that we can trust it. It's the Word of God. You can trust the Bible as you can trust God. That's the bottom line. You can trust the Bible as you can trust God. Now, it's not my place here tonight to actually defend the accuracy of the Bible or to defend the claims that the Bible makes about itself. But the Bible is a book which those who were engaged in writing parts of it had an awareness of that what they were doing was more than writing in the way that you know, Julius Caesar wrote his history, or that Josephus, the Jewish writer, wrote the history of the Jewish people, or whatever, or that Homer wrote the Iliad, or whatever. You know, writers from the time of the Bible. These people had a sense that God was doing something through them. So, for example, we just sang in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God breathed, says Paul. It's God breathed. It's given by inspiration. It's an outbreathing of God. And that's why he says it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, with the Bible, you can be thoroughly equipped. If you use it properly, it will teach you, it will rebuke you, it will correct you, it will train you in righteousness. And you can be thoroughly equipped just by this one book. Peter, in 2 Peter 1, he says, well, folks, when you're reading prophecy, just remember this. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. The prophet didn't make it up. It says prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. It wasn't just because some man thought, I wonder what's going to happen in the future, or I wonder what God would have me say to this king or whatever. No, says Peter, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Paul says all Scripture is breathed out by God. Peter says all Scripture comes as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is telling us that God is saying what he wants to say through this book. It's not a book with bits of God in it and bits that are just man. It is a human book because it came through people. People had to actually hear the voice of God, be carried along by God, and using their own humanity, they wrote what they did. So it's a very human book, but it's coming from God, and it says precisely what God wants it to say. And so you can trust it. And that's a very important thing. Obviously, we can go into that in a lot more detail, and if you want to do that another time, so actually thinking if we continue the discussion groups, it might be good to think about things like this. But it's really important that, first of all, we know that God is speaking to us through his word, and that whether we're in Revelation chapter 22 or in Genesis chapter 1, we're handling the word of God. We're handling what God wants us to hear through his word and trust it. The second thing, however, is it's the word of God. That means it's not God. We saw that last week. When we read the Bible, it's not an end in itself. When we read the Bible, we're not seeking just to memorize it or to understand it. We're seeking Jesus in the Bible. That's what we actually do when we read it. The Bible, remember, is the riverbed. It's not the river. So we can go to the riverbed because we know that that's the place the river is to be found. And we can go to the Bible because we know that's the place where God is to be found, where Jesus is to be found. But the Bible is not God. And that means we don't idolize it. We don't idolize it. Now, the church sometimes does idolize the Bible. It particularly idolizes a version of the Bible. And what we need to do when we are handling the Bible is find a version of the Bible that most clearly speaks to us in the language that we use ourselves. That's what we must try and do. Sometimes the church gets stuck in a time warp, and I mean it has done that with Bibles throughout history. It's done that with Latin, the Latin Bible, for example. The Vulgate got stuck in a time warp with that until people were no longer even speaking Latin at all and no one could understand at all. And we've done that with the Authorised Version as well, which was an accurate version in its day. It's still accurate, but the language is difficult. So the Authorised Version is like a riverbed with big stones in it, which kind of, you know, we have to kind of negotiate because there are language we just don't know, we're not familiar with. Coming more up to date, the NIV, which we use in the church here, was produced in 1979. Now, language is changing very quickly in our day and age. And because of that, the publishers of the NIV in 2011 produced a revision of this, which is a great, great translation. I use it myself at home, and I'd highly recommend it. The 2011, in other words, the new NIV. It's very similar to this, but you may have noticed sometimes people come to the church and preach and they say, oh, NIV, and they put their NIV Bible down and it may be the 2011 one, and so when they're reading it and you've got your NIV in the front, you think it's not just quite the same. You've maybe noticed that. It's because it's been revised up again to 2011. Some of my colleagues prefer the English Standard Version, which was produced in 2001. But the basic point is, what you're trying to do is to make the river flow as cleanly and as rapidly as possible. So you want it to be in a language that you're absolutely familiar with, in a language that is the language that you're using on a day-to-day basis in any case, so that it comes to you absolutely crisp and fresh. You know, the New Testament was written in the language of the street. It was written in the Greek language that people spoke on the street, that people did their daily transactions in, that people spoke when they were buying their vegetables in the market, that people spoke when they were doing business, that people spoke when they were reading to their kids or whatever. That's the language it's in. It's absolutely what we call the vulgar tongue. And so, you know, I encourage you, make sure you're reading the Bible in a way that is as clearly understood as possible by you. Don't idolize a version, okay? The next thing, though, is it's Word. It's the Word of God. That means we can trust it. It's the Word of God. It's not God. So and we don't idolize it. But it's Word. It's words. So we need to understand the words. And so to meet Jesus through what the Bible says, you need to actually understand what the Bible says. Now, that obviously means it needs to be in the language you speak, but it means other things too for different people. Like, for example, you need to be able to read. You need to be literate to actually pick up a Bible and use it. And many people are not able to read. And there are other reasons why people may not be able to read their Bibles. They may be blind, for example. And they may access the Bible themselves through Braille, because you can buy a Braille Bible. You may be like my own mother, whose eyesight is so poor that she cannot read. and she listens to the Bible on audio CDs. And at Christmas time, the publishers in NIV just recently brought out the entire Bible read by the actor David Suchet, Christian man David Suchet, you know, Hercule Poirot, but he doesn't do it in the accent, just in case you worry. He actually reads it beautifully clearly. It's really well read. And again, actually, on the particular Bible app I have on my iPad, I can press a button and David Suchet reads to me my Bible in the morning if I want that. I don't actually use it very often, but sometimes it's useful just to let someone else read it to you. So there are means by which you can hear the Bible even if you can't read it. And it may be, as sometimes we do, that someone is frail, perhaps very frail, and we read the Bible to them because perhaps just even the act of reading the Bible isn't easy for them. Just think of Murdo with his father just now, taking the Gaelic Bible from beside the bed and reading to his father from the Gaelic Bible because that's his mother tongue, and he's not strong enough just now to do that for himself. But the words are still heard by him. So it's a book. We need to be able to read to actually access it. But sometimes it may be that someone else has got to do the reading for us. And you might think to yourself, well, maybe it's not quite the same to have the book read to me. But here's a really interesting fact. This term, Word of God, if you look it up in the New Testament, because it's almost all in the New Testament, there's one or two examples in the Old, but it's mostly in the New Testament, the term Word of God, referring to Scripture. It almost always actually refers to the word of Scripture being spoken. Like, of course, people in Bible times, they didn't tend, unless they were very wealthy, to have the Bible in a book form or in a scroll form, because you had to actually be quite wealthy to afford scrolls and to afford having had someone copy them out laboriously by hand for you. So almost everyone accessed the Scripture by hearing it. So they went along to the synagogue, and the reader in the synagogue would unroll the scroll and do the reading, and that's how you actually accessed the Scripture. It was read to you. So often as well, the term Word of God in the New Testament refers to the apostles' preaching, where they're quoting from memory the Word of God and maybe adding the explanation of that word to the people. But it's audio. It's not reading it out, but it's hearing it being read out. And sometimes that's really helpful, because you are probably quite a fast reader. If you're reading a novel, say you're reading an Ian Rankin, just came to mind there, don't know why. So if you like crime and you're reading Ian Rankin, you probably can skip the pages pretty quick, especially if you're like my wife, who's got, if she says, here, read this, and she shows me a page, and I'm about, you know, a third of the way down. She says, are you not finished yet? You know, she's one of these very fast readers. But if you do that with Ian Rankin, it really doesn't matter. Because actually, you know, whether or not you remember Ian Rankin in the long run is of no consequence. But it's easy to do that with the Bible as well. You know, you can read the Bible quite quickly. But if someone's reading it to you, you have to go at the pace of the reader. And certainly, for example, David Suchet, he reads it nice and slowly, not too slowly, just the right pace. But there's time to sort of think more about it. So actually having it read isn't such a bad thing. And there are all kinds of ways that you can do that. You can do it through CD, audio CD, as I've said. You can do it by having someone read to you. You can do it perhaps probably on your phone these days, a phone app, or over the internet. There's plenty of ways of doing that. And the important thing is, though, that it's words, and words have to get into our ears or into our eyes so that they can get into our minds. So, you know, whatever way you get them in, whether it's through the ears by audio, or whether it's through your eyes, or indeed whether it's through your fingers by touch with Braille, the important thing is you're trying to get it into your mind, because you need to think about and you need to receive into your mind and into your heart what it's saying about Jesus. You can't do that unless you access the words one way or another. So it's the Word of God. Word is language. Language is what we uniquely, among all the creatures of the earth, have the ability to use in very complex forms. And the language of the Bible is rich in imagery, it's rich in ideas, it's rich in logic, it's rich in all kinds of forms of thinking. And we need to, you know, really receive it into our minds and our hearts so that we can think about it, mull it over, ruminate upon it. And then, as I said last week, our goal is to meet God when we do this. So it's not just to fill up our minds and think, well, you know, I've read it, I've thought about it, I've understood it, I know what it says, I could explain it to someone else. It's not even that. Because ultimately, it's the Word of God. So when you read the Word, you want to meet the author. You want to hear the author's heart. You want to hear God speaking. Our goal is to meet God through His Word. So it's something that you must do when you pick up the Bible. And God willing, next time we'll think about this on a really practical level. I just want to give an example next time of taking a passage and actually even how you might read it, to suggest how you might read it. One of the things you do is, I'm reading this for me. God is wanting to speak to me tonight. He's wanting to speak to Linda. He's wanting to speak to Jesse. You know, and so when we open our Bibles, we're wanting to actually say, well, Lord, you know, like Samuel, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. What do you have to say to me today? In other words, it's not just history. It is history. But you don't read it as history. Because if you read it as history, well, that's something in the past. And it's not a novel. It's not a novel that you're just simply reading to get to entertain or to enjoy the language or whatever. Yeah, I remember when I was at university in Glasgow, in the English department, one of the professors actually studied the Bible as literature with his class. Now that's wonderful in a sense, but it's not just that. You know, it might have been wonderful literature, but you mustn't just read it as literature, because you're actually wanting to hear God through it. So like I said, you might speak through your novel, but the Bible is the Word of God for you. So really, if you read a passage and you haven't heard something from God, then maybe you want to slow down a bit and try again. And if it still doesn't work, you maybe want to slow down a bit more and try again. And say to God, Lord, please speak to me. It's your word. Let me hear your voice today. Because what we're aiming at through the Bible is relationship. We're aiming at actually hearing God's heart in His Word. A relationship with God through Jesus. Remember how we thought about it as communication. Remember that great secret of relationship. you're all wondering, what's he going to say? What's this great secret of relationship? And I built it up a wee bit, and you're thinking, we're about to hear this wonderful secret that's going to help us in our marriages and in our friendships and so on. And no, there's no secret. It's communication. God wants to communicate with us. He wants us to actually hear from him, and that's how we use the Bible. So, because it's communication from God, I'm going to have to take time to listen, and I'm going to have to take time to tune in to what he says without distraction. Now, I know myself, like for example, if Margaret and myself go out for dinner, and we're sitting in a restaurant, but the restaurant's full of stuff going on. Margaret's trying to speak to me and get my attention, and I'm looking around. Lots of people, because that's the way my brain works. Sadly, I'm just always, you know, I need absolute silence. When I read the Bible, think about it, I need absolute silence, because otherwise I'll start focusing on things. But in the restaurant, I have real trouble. I need to shut my brain down. Focus, because I'm so caught with attention, looking around to what's going on, and who's serving what meal, and who's saying what at the next table, and I think I know that person over there, and so on. Distraction. I'll not then hear Margaret's heart. I need to absolutely find a way of focusing in, and focusing on the Bible as well. We need to slow down, and we need to get rid of distraction, and you need to find how that works for you. You need to find the time of day to do it, and you need to find, you know, where's the best place, and you need to find the things that distract you that you can get rid of, like, you know, texts on your phone coming in, or the phone ringing, or, you know, people who might be in the house that might disturb you or whatever, because you are coming to this Bible, God is going to speak to you, and you want to hear from him. Because, verse 12 says, the word of God, that's what you're handling, you want to hear through his word, God. And what will God do with his word? Well, the word of God, says verse 12, is living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So I know when God is speaking to me, when I feel it penetrating. When I feel that penetration of God, of his word into my life, I know that I'm getting to the right place with the Bible. And perhaps when we read the Bible then, we need to really look at our attitude and say, well, is this what I'm doing it for? Is it, am I looking at it for me so that I'm handling God's word, and I want to understand the words, yes, but I want to hear the God who's speaking the words. I want to hear his heart. I want to know what he's saying to me. And so I need to give him my full attention. I need to find ways to tune in completely to him and let him speak to me. And that does mean practical things. It doesn't mean just taking God's word on the hop. It does mean practical things where you're going to have to really find that place where you can be still and to listen. And, you know, each of you need to find your ways. Like I say, next time, hopefully, I'll think about it practically or maybe describe something of what I have to do myself to make it work. But others of you will have different ways of being still to listen to God. But once you've got into that place where you've got the attitude, this is God's word, God is going to speak to me, I'm going to hear his heart, and I'm not going to let anything distract me from this, then you pray to God and you ask him to do this, to speak to you, and to that you are going to hear his voice. And then when you read, you may have questions. And again, I'll say something more about this next time. You may have questions. And it may be that you need just questions about the passage itself, like when did this take place in Bible history? Who are the people in the story? You know, how would I feel if I was in this situation? Who do I identify in this story? you know, how does this challenge me? What does God want me to do as a result of reading this? You know, questions like that. And all of this does take time. I'm suggesting as well, it's good to have a notebook when you're Bible reading and a pen, and just to be actually, you know, taking notes about what you're reading. You're expecting God to speak, because it's His Word. It's the Word of God. It's living. It's active. So you're expecting, when you're handling the Bible, to find it living and active. You come into the riverbed, you're expecting to find the river. You're expecting to meet with Jesus. That is how we handle God's Word. It would be great for me just to put people on the spot tonight now, just to say, okay, so how did your Bible reading go this morning, if that was when you did ever? You know, sometime this week, you know, maybe after lunch or whatever, maybe over coffee at 11 o'clock, when you read your Bible, did God speak to you? You know, what happened? This morning, you know, God's been kind of impacting me a bit in my reading about it's quite personal in a way, but Romans 6 is where I was reading. Romans 6. And you've got to when you become a Christian, what Paul's saying in Romans 6 is you just can't sin. You just don't do it. It's something you just can't do at all. And God's been really speaking to me about that. You know, there are little things in my life that I maybe don't think, well, you know, I just do them and they're wrong. And, you know, I still go on and still managing to live and be a husband and a father and a minister and all the rest of it. And it's like God is saying to me just now, no. Like, not at all. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Not a thing. There's just not allowed to do any sin as a Christian. There's no way which you can think that it's okay to sin in any way as a Christian. And that's just the thing that God has challenged me about this morning from Romans 6. You know, we who died to sin, Romans 6:2. How can we live any longer in it? It's not even conceivable. And yet I've been thinking it as conceivable. You know, there's some things I'm not really challenging myself about. God is saying, no, you can't do any sin as a Christian. You can't excuse any sin because you want to walk with me. And that's just an example. Every day we should be seeking to encounter God in His Word. And you know, what are your stories of meeting God in His Word from this week past? And that's because if you want to grow, which is coming back to our theme, you've got to feed yourself. And one of the ways, and it's not the only way, but one of the ways is to be hearing from God through His Word. That's absolutely essential. So what are your stories from this week? How has God spoken to you? And if you're feeling well, maybe not very much yet, and perhaps this is something that an area that you can address and say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I need to get down more into Your Word and really seek to hear Your voice and do what Your Word is saying. I want to read it for me. I want to have a relationship with You which involves You speaking to me through Your Word, because Your Word is living and it's active and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates. I want Your Word to penetrate me, Lord, and to challenge me and change me. So please speak to me. So may God help each of us to handle God's Word in that kind of way and to hear His voice. Amen.